So this morning, what we're going to do is we're looking at a series, I'll call it a two-part series, which I've called Finding and Knowing Jesus. For last Sunday, we looked at finding Jesus and we looked at the story of the wise men. And that was our first English to Portuguese translation. It was so nice. I listened to it again. I was like, wow, that's a real classic. I think that's one of my best, actually. Yeah, I'll put it classic. So today we're just going to carry on from there. So we've looked at finding Jesus. Today we want to look at knowing Jesus. Now, just to end, well, this is our last Sunday for the year. But one thing that God has been putting in my mind and in my heart so strongly for next year is the fact that we should really, really focusing on knowing God, on knowing Christ. Now, you might wonder and say, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, we know Christ already. We're born again. We read the Bible and we have some knowledge about God. But I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And in that portion of scripture, Paul, the apostle, says something. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. But the fact, the portion I want us to focus on there is the first part of that sentence, of that verse that says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, one would have thought that someone that God used to write about two-thirds of the New Testament will have known Christ a lot. This is someone who had such a revelation of Christ that he said there was once he was taken to heaven and some of the things that he saw, he wasn't even permitted to speak about those things. It was just beyond anything any human being could ever actually imagine or know. But here we see Paul saying something here, which I find a bit surprising. He says, I want to know Christ. So if Paul, who had a personal revelation of Christ, Jesus appeared to him several times, could still be at a point where he was still saying, I want to know Christ. That says something to us about knowing Christ. So knowing Christ, as we'll see here, is not a one-off event. Knowing Christ is not something that one just, you know, says, okay, I'm going to give it 3 months or 4 months and I think I'll have known Christ enough. No. Knowing Christ is a lot more than that. And I believe that for next year, most especially for CFT Global, it's called the Year of God's Glory. But I believe God wants us to focus on knowing him personally in this coming year, even more than we've ever actually thought we might. So today I'll be looking at three things. What does it mean to know someone personally? What does it mean to know someone personally? What does it mean to know God, to know Christ? And lastly, we'll just look at a few pointers in terms of how I believe we can embark on the journey of knowing Christ even more. So I don't want to give us like points to say, do this, do this, do this. No. What I just want to give us is just a couple of pointers. Some of them we might be aware of already. But again, just to reinforce it, that this coming year, 2019, I believe God wants us to really, really, really focus on him and to know him better. So the first thing is, what does it mean to know someone? I got a description online, just searching to say, okay, what when you say you know someone, what does that mean? So I got this description. It says, if you know someone personally, that means you've met them and you know them in real life rather than knowing about them or knowing their work. The Bible tells us that something about Moses. Bible tells us that Moses knew the ways of the Lord. Do you understand? But the children of Israel knew his acts. So what that means is that one can know about someone. You might know what they do. You might know the things that are peculiar to them, but not really know them personally. So I believe God wants us to move from the place to a deeper place of just knowing about him, knowing that Jesus is the one that has saved us by his blood, knowing that God loves us, knowing that God is just, God is faithful. All those things are good, and we ought to know God in those perspectives. But we're talking about knowing God personally. Now, if I say I know someone, for example, I know my wife, I know someone, I know the guys at my office, I know my neighbors, the degree of knowledge I have about them will be different. The way I know my wife, the things I know about my wife, will be definitely different from the things I know about my neighbor. They'll be definitely different from the things I know about my colleagues at work. So we see that there are different levels of knowing someone. Do you understand? So you might know someone from a distance, you might know someone, but what does it really mean to know someone? How do you get to the point where you know one person more than the other? How do you get to that point? From a natural perspective, even without thinking about it, if you want to know more about someone, from a natural perspective, you meet up with them, you speak with them, you listen to their views, they listen to your views, you guys exchange knowledge, you share things, and it's a process that goes on and on in that way. Do you get what I mean? So knowing someone takes effort. Knowing someone takes the desire that you want to know them. So one can decide that, you know what, I just want to know someone up to the level that I just know where they live, I know their hobbies, and I just want to stop there. Or you can go deeper and say, I want to know what that person really likes. I want to know what their aspirations are. I want to know what they're really like. Do you understand? So knowing someone is different from knowing about them. Now, why am I talking about knowing God this morning? Am I saying that we don't know God enough? Am I saying that, okay, we're going to now, you know, what do I really mean? And why is knowing God so important? Now, let's look at John chapter 17, verse 3. So we've described knowing a person, that it's not knowing about them, but knowing them personally. The second thing we want to look at is, what does it mean to know God? And why is knowing God so important? Why did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that he wanted to know Christ? Because he understood something that Jesus said. John 17, verse 3, he says, now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, anytime someone mentions eternal life, I think what might come to our minds is salvation, I'm saved, I'm not going to go to hell because I know Christ. So that's eternal life. And that's correct. But Jesus said something about eternal life. Eternal life begins for the Christian here on earth. So eternal life is not when you get to heaven only. That's part of it. Eternal life is not when you die and you're in heaven, there you don't have any mortgages to pay, no council tax, and all those things. No. Jesus said eternal life is from now. And eternal life is knowing God. So how does that tally? How can I say eternal life is knowing God? What does Jesus mean when he says that? Jesus means you can begin to enjoy the kind of relationship that you will have with God in heaven when we all meet him eventually, right now. Do you understand? And that begins the process of actually knowing God. So as you know God, as you desire to know more of God, something will begin to happen to you. You will enter a relationship with God that is almost like a heavenly relationship. What do I mean by that? Now, am I saying that things around you, you might not have challenges around you? Yes, because we live in this world. The Bible tells us, Jesus said that as long as you're in the world, you will have trouble. But despite all that, we can begin to enjoy this kind of relationship with God where our surroundings don't really matter. And we enter a relationship with God where it is a heavenly one, where we begin to experience God the same way as we would experience him when eventually we go to be with him. So Jesus said, knowing God is eternal life. So eternal life can start for you now in depth. Do you understand what I mean? So knowing God is important because it does a lot. And again, that's one of the, that's the big essence of our existence, so that eternal life can start now. So we've looked at what does it mean to know someone and what does it mean to know God. And we've said it's the beginning of eternal life. Now, I'm just going to give us a number of what I'll call tips around knowing God. We know some of them already, but again, it's just to really reinforce them. How can you and I embark on this journey of knowing God more? The same way Paul said in the book of Philippians. How can we begin this journey? Or if we're on the journey already, as we are, how can we get to the point where we begin to experience the real depths of God's eternal life for us now? Well, the first thing is what we read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I believe the first thing is our desire. A desire to want to know God more. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. So it begins with a desire. When you meet someone and you meet up with people or your friends outside of work or your neighbors or just your normal, you know, casual friends, you do so because you have a desire to want to know them better. So it starts with desire. Whatever it is that you desire is what you will channel your energy towards. You know, I mean, I remember when I met my wife at first, this was about 22 years ago. The desire was so obvious because my routine then, I was working then, I think I'd finished uni then, and I was working then as a single man, and my routine was finish from work, drive to her house, get to her house around 7, stay there till about 12, go back home, and the circle begins over and over. And it got to the point where my friends said, hang on, we don't see you anymore. What's happening? Who is this girl that you've been going to see all this almost every day? Even got to the point where her sisters were whispering to her. I later found out that, hang on, when is this guy going back home? Is this guy not going back to his house? So I had a strong desire then. I still have that desire. You know, let's put that in PS. So what I'm just saying is that yeah, that amen. That's an American response. I hope you guys are not going American on me now. So what I'm just saying is that it starts with desire. So God wants us to have a desire that in 2019, let's pray that God will give us a desire that, you know what, I really want to know God. I don't want to know God from the perspective of, okay, I'm going to just read my Bible and say, okay, I've ticked that. Okay, I've read my Bible now. No. A true desire to say, you know what, I really want to know Christ the same way that Paul wanted to. And God, you know, can fan that desire, but the initial one starts from us. Do you understand what I mean? Now, the other thing as well is in this knowing God is, so the first one I've said is desire. The next one I'll describe as searching for God. Searching for God. Now, if we go to Proverbs chapter, well, searching for God in the Word, not just searching for God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. So one has the desire, then the next thing is searching for God in the Word. Now, one of the challenges we have is that God is not visible to us. So unlike maybe your neighbor next door, your friend whom you can see, we can't see God physically, but we can begin to search for God in His Word in the first instance. Now, I was reading this Proverbs, I've read it quite a few times, but this just stuck with me so much for the past 2 weeks. And God began to speak to me through a number of things here about really searching for Him or beginning the search for him in his word. Let's look at the King James Version so that I can. All right. So Proverbs chapter 1. Did I say Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, not Proverbs chapter 1. So, sorry about that. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. So here, it begins to tell us the process of finding God, how we do it through his word. He says, my son, if you will receive my words, receiving the words of God, and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So he was beginning to, Solomon was writing here something about how one begins to find God, how one begins to find Christ. And he says, look, the first thing is receiving the word of God, searching the word of God, looking at the word of God and really crying out from your heart and from my heart saying, look, I really want to know God. I want to know Christ. I want to find Christ through the word. It says, as we continue in that process, something will begin to happen to us. As we begin to treasure the word of God, seeking Christ in his word, he says, we will find the knowledge of God in his word. If we look at John chapter 6 verse 63. So the first place is looking for God in his word, looking for Christ in his word. John chapter 6 verse 63. The word of God is not like any other book. And this John chapter 6 verse 63 says, his word, it says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So what distinguishes the Bible from your history book or any other book is the fact that the Bible, the words in the Bible, if we engage the Bible from our hearts, we are engaging life. We're engaging life in Christ. So it's saying here, it says, Jesus was saying here, look, the words that I've spoken to you, the words in the Bible, they're life, they're spirit. Do you understand? Their life. So when we're saying we're looking for Christ in the word, what we're saying is that as we study the word, as we read the word, we're searching and we're saying, I want to know more about Christ. Something will begin to happen. God will begin to express himself to you by the word. The word will come alive to you. It will not just be words on paper. Do you understand? If we see the word of God as the actual life of God, when we read it that way with our hearts, as you read the word, God will speak to you through the word and you'll begin to encounter God. You'll begin to have knowledge of God, not just theoretical knowledge, but you begin to really know who God is as he speaks to you through his word. Do you understand? But you have to search the word for him. So that's the second thing that we can look at. So the other thing as well, the third thing, and which kind of like aligns to this in terms of the word, is this from John chapter 5 verse 39 to 40. John chapter 5, 39 to 40. So I've said in knowing God is having a desire first and searching for Christ in the word, because Christ's word is life. Then still looking at the word, John chapter 5 verse 39 to 40. It says something in there. And in this one, it says, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. It says, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So what was Jesus telling the Pharisees here? He was telling the Pharisees that you guys are so diligent in studying the Bible. You know the Bible inside out. However, you're doing it academically. You're not doing it because you want to encounter me. So again, studying the word, one can study the Bible in such a way that is very academic. Now, that's not wrong. You can study the Bible academically so you can know all the verses and stuff. But if one stops at that, one will find oneself in the place of the Pharisees where one knows the Bible. You can quote thousands of scriptures, but yet you have not encountered Christ. So why am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that even though I'm saying let's search for Christ, let's search for God in the Word, we must do it from our hearts. We must do it with an intention to encounter Jesus. We must do it with an intention not just to know all the, you know, Bible verses, but we want to know Christ. So we study it with our hearts. Now, the fourth thing I want to say as well to us, I have a few more things, is in the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, again, finding God through His Word. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. Now, this talks about Moses. And while Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was something that he did in seeking God. He was very deliberate about it, Moses. And Exodus tells us 33:7 says, now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Moses was going with the children of Israel, leading them, and he did something. He took a tent and he went outside of the camp and he pitched that tent there so that he could have time to seek God. He could have time to commune with God. I'm not quite sure it was God that told him to do that. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we see something here. He took time out from the busy schedule of life. The Bible tells us that there was a time that Moses, from morning till night, he would stand judging the people, correcting them, advising them. And his father-in-law says, you know what? If you continue like this, you're going to wear yourself out. So Moses was a busy man. I mean, can you imagine pastoring about 2 to 3 million people? That's like pastoring a country. So he was always busy. But he did something. He took time out of his busy schedule, intentionally, deliberately, took a tent and pitched it outside of the camp so that he could have time with God. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this that because in the life and in the world that we live in now, everything is vying for our time. Work is vying for your time. Your husband is vying for your time. Your wife is vying for your time. Your kids. Everything is... We're so busy. And if we do not make a deliberate decision to say, you know what? I'm going to take time out to really just talk to God and to study. Now, I'm going to say that with a PS. I'm not saying that we're doing that because we want to be... How should I put it? I'm not saying we do that. And if we miss the time, we now feel so bad. It's like, oh, I said I was going to do this. If you feel bad, just dust off the dust and you start the next day, you know, you carry on from the next day. No, I'm just saying that deliberately saying, looking at your schedule on a daily basis and say, look, when is the time that I can take out some time to just study my Bible and just talk to God? Because if you don't do that, or if I don't do that, you will never have the time. Do you understand? So Moses was such a busy man, but he was deliberate about it. Do you understand? He was deliberate about it. Now, the other thing as well, I have two more things. The other thing as well is if we look at John chapter 17, verse 16. John chapter 17, verse 16. Jesus was saying something, and it's something that we need to be really careful about. It's about being in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said concerning us, he says, and his disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. So this is saying that in knowing Christ, we need to really separate ourselves from the value system of the world. Mark here, chapter 4, verse 18 to 19 says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. You don't have to turn there. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus begins to say something about the fact that, you know, we don't have to turn there. He begins to say something about the fact that we can be so encumbered by the things that are legitimate. What am I going to eat? I need to study. I need to do this. And we can be so engrossed with those things that it just saps the life out of us. And when you get home every day from work, you've done all the things you need to do. The only thing you can think about is, man, I need to roll on that bed and sleep straight away the next morning again. So Jesus is saying that, look, we need to be conscious that we're not overwhelmed by the value system of the world, overcome by the worries of the world, overcome by what am I going to do here? All those things are legitimate, but God doesn't want us to worry about them. Do you understand? For example, now we have the Brexit thing that's going on. Our government doesn't, you know, they're quarreling over who should do this and who should do that. Companies are panicking. A lot of people are saying, oh, what's this going to mean concerning my job? What's it going to be concerning this? And so on and so forth. But Jesus says something. He said, look, in Matthew chapter 6, that those things, they're not the things that should concern you. Let it concern every other non-Christian. Do you understand? Let it concern every other non-Christian. But for you, it should not concern you. Why? Because God knows everything and he'll take care of you. So Brexit or no Brexit, exit or no Brexit, Nexit or no Lexit, it has nothing at all to do with you. In the sense that whatever happens, God has you covered. Do you understand? So remove the thinking of Brexit from your mind. The 30 minutes a day or 1 hour a day you spend going through the news and panicking yourself. Remove those things. It has nothing to do with you. Do you know that the Bible tells us that when Israel went into captivity, there was a prophet. And I mix this up now. I don't know if it was Ezekiel or Jeremiah. I think it was Ezekiel. One of them. God said Israel was going to go into captivity, that they will be taken to Babylon. He described it. He said they will put hooks. They will put hooks on some of their mouth. They will drag some of them naked from Israel to Babylon. Really terrible things will happen to them. And he told the prophet, it passes my mind, I don't know if it's Ezekiel or Jeremiah. He says, you will go with them into Babylon as well. But all the things that are happening there will not happen to you. The Bible tells us that when the prophet got there, he was properly housed in Babylon. It was as if he was on holiday there. Every other person around him was suffering. Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying here? I'm saying that we need to have the consciousness that God knows everything. God takes care of us. God doesn't want us to worry about things like that. Yeah, we should, you know, take the proper, precautions. But as it pertains to your future, not a no-brainer. Don't even think about it. Why? God has you covered. Do you understand what I mean? And the last thing, and we'll pray about knowing God. And this is a prayer that we pray quite a bit in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. We can do all these things. We can set time apart. We can search for God in the Bible. We can put away the worries of the world. We can be deliberate. But there is one thing that we need to realize. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. You can also ask that God will reveal himself to you. And here it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. So it's a two-way thing. So you do your part, which starts from desire, but realizing that, you know what, at the end of the day, God is the one that will reveal himself to you so that you will know God in a way that is not just casual. You will not just know about God, but that you will know truly who God is. Amen. So that's our main focus for 2019. And I'm sure that God will help us. I don't know about you guys, but I'm really excited about 2019. I know that God is going to do a great work in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's rise up and pray together. And you know what we want to pray? I mean, in terms of some of these sermons, sometimes they were like, you know, Pastor, I want something theoretically groundbreaking. Tell me about eschatology. Tell me what the three or the ten horsemen mean in Revelations. What does the color red mean? All those things are great. But you know what? The really simple things, like knowing God, is what really makes the big difference. So this morning, I just want us to pray.